asking me, what's your, I think he said, what's your favorite part of being a minister? Favorite part of being a minister? And I pretty quickly just said, preaching the gospel. When the Lord blesses, that's when we're preaching. If he's not with me, there's no preaching. So I like, one of my favorite parts of being a minister is preaching the gospel when the Lord blesses. And so I asked him, and he said the same thing. He said the same without hesitation. Same thing. I have one aspect of preaching the gospel on my mind this morning. I've just got four verses in the book of Romans that I'd like to speak on for just a little bit. So it's in the first chapter of Romans, and I'm going to begin about the 14th verse. Go through, I think, about four verses here. So we learn, and I wonder, okay, well, what was the Apostle Paul's favorite part, being a called minister of God? I believe it probably is the same thing, preaching the gospel. He certainly expressed that. He lived it till he died. He was preaching the gospel, and I believe he felt like that was his calling. His profession in life was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. But we're shown, and even in these few verses here, we're shown how he felt, how he looked at that calling. 14th verse, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So he feels like it's a debt that the Apostle Paul is paying in his life, in this calling. That's what that is to him. And we're told right there, well, we know that when God called Paul to preach the gospel and to be one of his apostles, that he laid that debt on him. That, to me, as I thought some about that, it puts a different perspective to it, especially when we consider, well, bring it back to myself. When will I have paid that debt off? Well, when I die, I won't be paying it anymore. So never. And we know that. That's a pretty simple thing that's been mentioned by ministers years and years. When that debt's laid on us, so it's a responsibility. I'm obligated to preach the gospel. That is my calling. I do believe, I feel a calling to preach the gospel. Now, that's not to say that I am not able in myself to squander that gift if I neglect to continue to pay that debt. That's a gift here. And whether or not I was ever called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I certainly feel like I'm a child of God, that I have that calling, that I'll be with Him, that I was chosen and then called here in life. And then the blood of Christ, who the Holy Ghost, was applied to me at some point. That same Holy Ghost that does that, continues to do that to God's children, to those that Jesus Christ died for, is the same Holy Ghost that blesses men to preach His gospel. Paul considers himself a debtor. And so then, as he continues that first sentence there that I've gone to, we know to whom he pays the debt. He says, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Now, I always thought of the term, the word barbarian, is in a hugely negative context. And I think the word, well, really how the Jews looked at the Gentiles and the Greeks as heathens and so forth. But this barbarians, I'll just pick one term out of there, and it's foreigners. And really, if you look at this, the Apostle Paul, his debt that he's paying is being paid. He's paying it to everyone, everyone. Now I'm gonna qualify that, because then I can say, anyway, I'll get to this in a minute. Just four verses, that's all I got here. Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. And then he says, both to the wise and the unwise. So to everyone, all types of personalities. I cannot, and also I cannot myself qualify the hearers of the gospel that I preach. I don't know. We'll see a more concise definition of those that I preach to, that I'm called to pay that debt. It cuts it down a great deal. Preach to everyone, and in thoughts that are on my mind, think readings and so forth. Even this week, I think that if I could just preach the gospel to the lambs, and then you have to hope that the sheep then would understand that. I never want to, and maybe I have, I don't know. I never want to feed my ego in trying to preach only to other ministers. That's not why. But even in making that statement, I've always felt a deep feeling. I believe a blessing from God that I wanted to preach to, I think, not only children, young in age, but then I think of the old. I'm not leaving out the middle age, because there's a lot of you here. But the older ones, I've always had a soft spot for them. And I feel like that is my even more specific calling, not just to preach the gospel, but to comfort those people. And so I pray that the Lord will continue to bless me, and that other ministers, and they've even worded, well, I feel like my particular calling is for this, 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 and this, and maybe more specific in preaching the gospel, and all. I have heard, only, I believe, if I remember right, only one minister say that he felt like, at least at the time, his calling, his purpose in preaching and so forth, was to encourage the full financial support of the ministry. That ain't my calling, and I don't want to touch that. And I don't believe that should be. It's not that. I don't believe that's scriptural. But that's taken care of. That is taken care of. I'm not saying that the church should not financially support their pastor, ministers, and so forth. And you know that. And this church is very generous. But that certainly should not be my specific calling in preaching gospel after hands were laid on upon me. The next verse, 15th verse, first chapter, Romans. So, as much as in me is... So whatever that is, I think about that, so much as in me is. Whatever the Apostle Paul had, whatever he'd been given, we have in his writings and in other writings about him and so forth, so much to show us what he was. But he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He had not been there. Not been to Rome. He's ready to preach to them. I believe the Apostle Paul was ready to preach to anybody, wherever he was. And he went. He sought these people out. We know he had travels and all, but he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. When he first was struck down on that road, he says, Lord, what would you have me to do? He asked, and I believe he got an answer, and he followed that. He followed that, the Apostle Paul did. What a calling that was. And I think of the other apostles as well in their personalities and even in their secular jobs and what they did and all. God used those things. And he would use them even in teaching his other disciples and more broadly all of his followers and disciples, I believe, in what those men were like. And we read, we see their faults, and even Paul, we do. But yet, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So continuing, in this 16th verse, I feel like is my main thrust this morning. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he could have been made to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I think, they're in Jerusalem and then all over. And of course, even the Jews did to him physically and so forth. He could have been made ashamed of this gospel, but he stood firm. And that takes, Brother Roger and I were chatting just a bit this morning about that and how our feelings and what's going on in our lives. Sometimes I have to just say this for myself. Sometimes you go through the motions and then God will bless you strongly again, though, in your life, whether it's hearing the gospel or preaching it. We all need that strength and we need God's presence, and we need to be able to set aside the distractions of life. And he does that for us. He does that for us. But I can tell you what, where Paul says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. We know one thing that's in the Apostle Paul, and that's the Spirit of God Almighty. He's in him, blessed him certainly to preach the gospel, and he inspired him to write so much of the New Testament here. And I happen to think too during the song service and thinking about this subject and Paul specifically, but all ministers Elder Larry Wise that just passed away. I guess it was yesterday, but he's at a church meeting. It was intended that he would go forward and preach to God's people that afternoon. And at this church meeting, so he died. He died at that, I don't know if it's at the meeting, but it was while he was attending that. And I thought, he was about to preach, but then all of a sudden, what is he seeing? What's he seeing now? As that meeting goes on, I'm sure even today, there, and they're hearing of this place and the one that caused Elder Larry to go there, to heaven. They're hearing this, he wouldn't have had the same words that he has now in soul and spirit that he's witnessing there, in heaven. What a place to be among God's people, as you're called, home, that as your soul and spirit separated from your body, but for a time, not long. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So it is the power of God unto salvation. So there's some salvation in the gospel. There is some salvation there. There's a deliverance. That's what salvation is. There's a deliverance. And then he clarifies this. He specifically says, so it is the power of God unto salvation to who? To whom? to everyone that believeth, to everyone that believeth. So he qualifies it here. And this makes perfectly logical sense that if someone in this believeth is currently, it's present tense, it's right then. So if there is someone even here today that does not believeth that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John 5:1, then they're not going to receive this anyway. It'll be nothing. It'll be foolishness to them. And that makes sense because they do not have the faith in them, which is the evidence of these things. Those that believeth, they do. They're able to comprehend that. And so this salvation in the gospel is only to everyone that believeth. Then he says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So again, he covers this great number of people. And we know that even the apostle Paul was told to go to the Jews first and the other apostles and so forth. But yet Paul's called the apostle to the Gentiles, and that's where then, and so we can go and see where, okay, the Jews would not accept his gospel, so he said, okay, I go to the Gentiles. I don't want to get into that. That's not my point, today. Now, so to everyone that believeth, in other words, there's some salvation that those of us who have been saved eternally, we need this salvation. We need it. And we need it here and now in our lives right now is when we need that. Now in Acts, the 13th chapter, Acts chapter 13, Paul qualifies it even more. He narrows it down, focuses in more here in the 26th verse of the 13th chapter of Acts. He says, I'll just get the one verse. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. So he's speaking to them, children of the stock of Abraham, the Jews. But he adds to the and. So he's speaking to them. And who else? Who else is he speaking to here? And whosoever among you feareth God. If I don't have faith, if I don't believeth, I'm not going to fear God. Why would I? I don't believe in Him. I don't believe Him. I don't believe in this being, this entity, whatever you might call Him. And so he preaches to you is the word of this salvation sent. That's to whom the word of this salvation is sent, to those who feareth God. So to everyone that believeth. So there's a salvation in that. Now there's different salvations in God's word. I'm thankful that we realize that we have that revealed to us and all. One example that always stands out in my mind is in the second chapter of Acts. Around the 40th verse. This is after this on the day of Pentecost, after Peter's sermon. And before that, a few verses, they were pricked in the hearts, many of them. And what shall, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, repent, be baptized. And so for the remission of sins. So he tells them that. And then he goes on and says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we see there's a salvation now. Who are the saviors? He says, save yourselves. They are the saviors at that point. Certainly not eternal. That's not eternal. Save yourselves. Save yourselves from what? From this untoward generation, this wicked generation. Yeah, it was wicked then too. And so there's a salvation there. And so had they not heard that sermon, would they have asked that question? Men and brethren, what shall we do? As a result of what we've just heard, they wouldn't have asked it because they wouldn't have heard that. So that was for then. And over 3,000 were added to the church. that day, and yet they continued to live in the world, in this untoward generation, but they needed something in order to continue to persevere in their lives here, to keep going. Because if I talked about this debt that has been laid upon me to preach the gospel to whomever I might preach it, that debt there, and I could lay it down and walk away tomorrow. I would still have that. I believe, I would hope, for a while I'd have that burning within me, that I'd have that desire to preach as I have now. Because from time to time I see the result of God in that preaching of the gospel, the salvation there, to encourage one another, to continue, and to live our lives in all of these things. I think temperance and moderation and so forth, and I need that all the time, to not go to the extremes in either direction. So that second chapter of Acts is certainly an example of that. Now let me real quickly go to the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4, toward the end of that chapter, if you're turning there. Paul tells Timothy, this young minister, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect it. That tells me, as I'm always saying, if God tells us to do something, then while we're here living, then we're able to do it. He's not going to tell us to do something we can't. Well, here, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. That means that Timothy could have neglected that gift that's in him. It's possible. If Timothy, this young minister, could, I could as well, and any minister. And I'm sorry to say, we've seen that happen, and they're no longer preaching. neglect not the gift that is in thee. Then he tells him in 15th verse, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So if he does this, if he meditates upon these things, his profiting will appear to all. So even in that, there's a salvation. Your profiting in following Jesus Christ, in serving him, in worshiping God, glorifying him in your lives, is profiting. It appears to all. We know that. So then, now the 16th verse is what I want here. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, in these things, he says, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So now Timothy is a savior of who? Of himself and those that hear him. If he takes heed to himself and under the doctrine and continues in these things, if he does this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I've mentioned this before, that I believe that in many ways through my life, since I joined the church for baptism in 1972, and then as ordained as a deacon and serving the church in that manner, in that calling, and then in 2006 when I was ordained, hands were laid on me to preach the gospel. They recognized that gift then, that I have felt the salvation even in myself. Just in what I do, how I live, things that I don't know what I might have gotten off into had that not happened to me. I do feel an obligation. I feel that debt laid on me. The wonderful thing is there's blessings in that. It's not just something that responsibility and obligation that's dragging down. No, in fact, it's edifying. It's edifying to me, but he said, "In this thou shalt save both, shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." It's not eternal. It's for the deeper fruitfulness of those that hear him. That's what this is. There's a salvation, the fruitfulness, in pointing you all and myself. It's right there in the 16th verse. To serve the living God, to glorify him in our actions and in our thoughts, in our meditations. And so he says that here. Now in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, real quick before I go back to Romans. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says, Paul, I endure all things for the elect's sakes. So all this stuff that we know, that we heard, that Paul, what happened to Paul in his sufferings, and then as he served as an apostle, died as a martyr, and so forth, he says, I endure all things for the elect's sakes. He was serving them. He was serving God through them there and preaching to them that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That salvation that we have in eternal glory in Christ Jesus, to lay hold on that here. So I tell you what, when we lay hold on that, that which we already have, and embrace that and live it through the encouragement of a gospel preacher here, there's a salvation in that, and we're going to serve God even more deeply. We are going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Those around us, as it said in 1 Timothy, those that hear you will see these things. It'll appear to them. And they will be blessed in that. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. So I believe this with eternal glory. I believe this ties our eternal salvation to our salvation here in the gospel. Now let me go on to this next verse in Romans 1. My fourth verse here. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. In the preaching of the gospel, if something is revealing the righteousness of God, I want to hear about it. I want to see that. I want to feel that. And that's what he's saying is here. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You can think, and you may have thoughts on this, faith to faith, certainly. And whether or not this scripture proves this, the gospel minister, if he is, even in that statement, if it's a gospel minister, he's been called of God. If that's the case, he's a child of God. He has faith. Faith to faith. I've already told you at the outset, you must have faith to if you believeth that Jesus is the Christ on these things. It's certainly from faith to faith. But anyway, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So if all of this, he's encouraging us that it is the power of God unto salvation. The salvation is that we live, the just live by faith. We're living here and now. We live by our faith, by the evidence and the strength of the very power of God. And the gospel, the preached word, encourages us, strengthens us. It causes us to continue to persevere. And also encourages us that when we do stumble in our lives, when we fall, then by the grace and mercy of God, we are caused to get up again and continue to serve Him. It could make it difficult. It could make it very easy for me to think, well, I'm going to be in heaven. I believe that. I believe that I have been called by God, through the blood of Christ, I'll be in heaven. And so, what does it matter if we follow any of this? I'll be fine. Yeah, I don't know about that. I wouldn't have to deal with this, or this anymore. But I tell you what, there'll be other things. And the Lord will not bless that. He may suffer you a while and all. But I would rather be here and be with you all because God loved you enough to sacrifice His only begotten Son. And so I want to be with a people that God loves even now. The same love that He had then when He chose you. He loved you. He foreloved you before the world began. And now He's given us the gospel. Didn't have to have this. Jesus Christ could have come and gone and saved us, and that'd be it. If you go back even farther, God did not have to, through His grace and mercy, send His Son. Adam broke the law. So be it. That's it. No, but God loved us. He loved a people. And now I want to hear about that. I want to be encouraged to not only while I'm here, but when I'm out there, I'm in the world and interacting, that I am to act in a way I think, you know, I work a lot in the neighborhood there where we live on the HOA board and so forth. And most all of them are aware that I pastor a church. If I ever found out that one of them was shocked at that, and maybe some of them are, I don't know. I'm shocked at how some others act sometimes in that deal. You see, I tell you what, when we do that, we see God's fruit of the Spirit come out of others around us. That's encouraging to me. We're not alone. They may not ever, they may have never heard of a Primitive Baptist or never set foot in a Primitive Baptist church, but you see God working in their lives as well. That's encouraging because we need them. We need all these folks out there. Do I wish they were here? I think I mentioned this maybe at Grace in Houston last weekend or whenever it was, I wish they were all here so they could have the same comfort and peace and rest that we have. But it's not going to happen. If God was willing, it could. If he willed that. I tell you what, He shall not lose one that Christ bought at Calvary. He shall not lose one, and He'll not cast them away. When we see that innumerable host one day, as this elder that I mentioned is there even now, we'll see that great number showing the preeminence of Christ Himself. This is God. Jesus Christ is God. God is the great I Am. He has always existed. He sits high on His throne, and yet He condescends to come down to me. As badly as I treat Him from so many times in my life, He still has mercy upon me. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. We will sing a song.